Hey, Fedheads, welcome to an episode of Cigar Chat brought to you by Cigar Federation. I am not Rob, your regular co-host. I'm John Cigar Surgeon, sitting in for Rob tonight. We're sitting down with James Brown from BLTC, or better known as Black Label Trading Company. We're broadcast live around the world, rebroadcast on AFRN Radio Network. Thanks very much for our listeners. Thanks very much for our service people out there. Appreciate your sacrifices. And thanks for our special podcast listeners. I know you guys don't listen live, but we do know you tune in droves, and we certainly appreciate that. Thanks to everyone who asked questions in the Q&A app. I am here with your MFN CEO, Logan. Logan, what is going on?
Dude, I'm tired.
Tired.
I'm just tired, man. I had families in town for Easter, so I had to do a bunch of honey-do list things. And do you know how hard it is to rake up live oak leaves off of St. Augustine grass? Do you realize if they want to, if I go to hell and they want to punish me, that's what I need to do every day, because it is just torture.
Brother, we don't have oak leaves. Oak trees would die up here in Canada. We got snow, we got frost.
Well, I know
ain't that. Ain't no oak tree. Well, I mean, if you were in Ontario, an oak tree would live, but not here.
Dude, it's horrible.
Sounds
because they're really small leaves, and then St. Augustine's like a weed, but it's a grass, so it grows like not in the ground but across the ground. What will happen is all the leaves are small, they get underneath the leaf, underneath the grass, so you like literally you have to get up in it if you want to get those leaves out, and it's just brutal, man.
That actually sounds like some kind of unpaid job. I mean, I'd love to have a yard. I'm not there yet, which is brutal, but I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work to me. Can't you just hire somebody? You're in Texas, right? Can't you just give someone $5? You guys always have people willing to work for cheap, don't you?
Listen, surgeon, when a man has a house and a homestead like I have, you want to take care of it. And as much as I bitch and moan about it, I actually quite enjoy it.
You know, I'd probably do yard work if only I got the opportunity to smoke cigars. I think that would probably be the
what I did. But no, but sucks, dude, man. Like, the thing is, like, when you're outside working in the heat and you're, like, picking up leaves, like, I've caught leaf piles on fire with dropping my cigar before. Like, dude, you got to be careful. And you got to hydrate. And I didn't hydrate very well, and I got a huge headache. Anyways, Sergeant, we can talk for hours. Let's move on to more important stuff.
So, like I said, we're here with James Brown, a Black Label Trading Company, live from, is it Guatemala you're in, James?
Yeah, Guatemala.
Guatemala, thanks very much for joining in. I know you have an incredibly busy schedule right now, so I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show.
Absolutely, guys. My pleasure. Good to be here.
So maybe I'll just kick it off because we were kind of shooting the breeze before the show, and you mentioned you had something a little special in your hand. You want to maybe talk a little bit about what that is, what that special something is you're smoking right now?
Sure. Yeah, I'm smoking the prototype for the new Morphine Wild Bill. So it's a 4.5x50 Robusto. So this year we're going to be launching Morphine again in June, and we're adding two new Vitolas to it, the Wild Bill Vitola and the Hannibal. The Hannibal is going to be a 5.5x46 box press Corona. And then we're also bringing back the Lancero from last year.
Well, bringing back the Lancero is going to make a lot of Cigar Chat people happy because a lot of the weasels out there are pretty big on the Lancero Vitola. I'm a bit of a Lancero hole myself. So, I mean, I know you guys, you have the Corona in the Deliverance, don't you?
Deliverance comes in a 7x38 Lancero and a 5.5x48 Corona Gorda. Yeah.
I mean, that's right in my wheelhouse.
Didn't Eddie Ortega already do a cigar called Wild Bill in the Ortega project?
Sorry, yeah, he did the Wild Bill. Ours is Buffalo Bill.
Oh, got it, okay. You know, I'm no trademark attorney, but I'm just trying to save you on some legal fees down the road.
No, it's Buffalo Bill, and, you know, people kind of tied the Morphine logo in with the Silence of the Lambs theme, you
right.
know, when it first launched, so we kind of have been playing off that. So
why don't you call it Clarice?
Well, last year the Corona was the Clarice.
Really?
And Sarah, Dr. Lecter, yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm bad with Vitola names. Like, I'll know the name, I'll remember the blend, but I won't remember the Vitola names. It always escapes me.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated, yeah.
So the other thing that we're kind of talking offline a little bit about is, of course, the exciting announcement that you guys just in February opened the, and I'm going to butcher this because we've already talked about how terrible my Spanish is, but it's the Fábrica de Oveja Negra in Esteli, right in the middle of Esteli, is that right?
Fábrica.
Fábrica?
Yes. Oveja Negra, yeah.
And
so for everyone that doesn't speak Spanish, that means factory.
Factory. So what's the, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, so we, you know, after a lot of growth this last year, you know, we just came to the conclusion that it was time and, you know, spent a few months looking for properties and figuring out exactly what we were going to do, and luckily we found a great location, and, you know, we had already had our own crew set up, so we just, you know, went in, took the factory, and started rolling.
And I read in the press release that you guys aren't just going to be producing Black Label Trading Company stuff. The goal is really to act as a boutique manufacturer for other companies. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where we were 2 years ago, you know, we know the difficulties of being able to get, you know, a great quality product out there, and to be able to work with a factory that doesn't have enormous minimums. And so, I mean, really, we're just enthusiastic about making cigars, you know, for Black Label Trading Company, for other people. That's just what we want to do. And, you know, we're just offering that option out there for people, you know, that are relatively new in the industry and that have been around for a while, to have a location where the factory's main focus is on boutique production.
Well, let me ask you this, because I was looking at sort of the year in review, the 2014 year review, and we all talked a little bit at the IPCPR, and we had you on the show last year, at least Rob and Logan had you on the show last year. So
actually, it was Matt.
Was it Matt?
It was Matt. Rob has never done a show with Black Label Trading Company. It's a freaking shame.
Is this the third appearance on the show for James?
No, second.
Second on Cigar. Yeah, we just did a quick interview at the IPCPR.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, I mean, you launched the Morphine, you launched the Deliverance, and then you had the Catacomb project out of, was that Underground Cigar Shop?
Yeah, correct.
In November, and then now you've got your factory launch in February. So, I mean, to me, that seems like a ton of stuff going on. I mean, did 2014 kind of meet the expectations of where you were going, or, like, how did that line up for you?
You know, honestly, we didn't really have any expectations, you know, and I think it just, we kind of started just taking things as they came. You know, we wanted the business to kind of grow gradually, organically, and, you know, it was just one of those things where 2014 just really took off for us, you know, and we ran with it. So, you know, we had some ideas of what we wanted to do, and we just kind of, you know, threw them out there, and they worked, thankfully, and, you know, and that's just kind of how we do it, you know. We didn't have some big plan of where we were going to be and what we were going to do. You know, I think the only thing that was really planned out was Morphine, and then after that, when it took off and kind of snowballed, then we just went from there.
Now, I know, and Logan could correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that we have the Deliverance in the Cigar Fed store in both the Corona and Lancero Vitola. Is that... Am I...
Not a question for me?
Yeah.
What was the question?
Do you... I was pretty sure we have the Deliverance in the Cigar Federation store, do we not?
We do.
In both Vitolas.
Correct.
And it's pretty production limited, isn't it? It's like 400 boxes, 500 boxes?
500, I thought. Yeah, I could be wrong.
Vitola. And, you know, we launched it in November, and really we're about to the end of it. So I would say probably in the next month or so, Deliverance will be gone until next year as well.
Okay, well, obviously, for those who haven't tried it, you should really get it because, you know, two Vitolas, it sounds pretty good to me, and once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, hopefully we'll bring it back next year, but, you know, you never know what we're going to do. It's a great stick. I mean, I really love it, and I think it's actually, for me, I think it's one of our most kind of underrated, under-the-radar sticks. You know, it, we launched it, and it's just been kind of creeping out there, you know, but it hasn't gotten, like, the huge blast that Morphine did. But yeah, it's like I said, it's almost pretty much gone, so.
Well, maybe what I'll do here is hop into some of the audience questions, because I think the weasels out there heard that there was some Black Label Trading Company giveaways that Logan was going to do, you guys had offered. So we've got a ton of questions here. So maybe I'll just kind of start at the top and we'll work our way down. First question is from Irate Base Mickey. He said he's had quite a few of your cigars and bought a box of the Morphine and he really enjoyed it. He wants to know that, in your opinion, James, what do you think makes Black Label Trading Company stand out from all the other brands that are in the market?
You know, I think with our cigars, we have a lot of people that relate to our labels and to our marketing. And the great thing about that is it gets them to pick up the cigar. You know, and then I think when people smoke our sticks, I think that they find them a little bit different than what's regularly available. I think the flavor profiles stand out to a lot of people. And I think that for the most part, since we offer six blends, you know, we kind of have sticks out there that check all the boxes for certain individuals. And I think that's what really makes them stand out. You know, we don't make our sticks in, you know, seven Vitolas. You know, we just kind of go with what works. We keep it small. You know, it's all small production, limited Vitolas. And, you know, the focus is just really on the tobacco and the cigar.
Okay. And then we've got a great question here from I Am Texican. Specifically related to the new Fabrica, and he wants to know, is the official house blend from the Fabrica going to be something available to the public? And of course, as I'm sure you can expect, he'd like to know when and where can he purchase it when it becomes available?
Yeah, we're working on basically the idea is that the line of Oveja Negra is going to kind of exist separate from Black Label. And the thing behind that is that with the Oveja Negra line, our focus is just to be completely experimental. So we want to just work on a lot of different random things. The idea with the sticks is the releases are going to kind of be, you know, there and then gone, and then we're going to move on to something else and keep it kind of fluid with what we're experimenting with at the factory. We're working on two sticks to release this year, hopefully. The idea is to do that end of summer, maybe September, October. But yes, we are working on doing an Oveja Negra line. There will be two sticks sometime this year. We just are not 100% sure when yet.
Okay. Well, immediate follow-up, which kind of along the same topic, because we've got a lot of questions here about the factory and the operations. And Jason Myers wants to know, how are things going setting up the factory? Maybe can you give us a little bit of insight into some of the challenges? I know we talked a little bit offline that you're actually looking at moving full-time, or you are moving full-time to Nicaragua. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, you know, the factory, we've actually been working on it for quite some time, and then opened the doors obviously in February. But it's been a long process of setting up, and you know the difficulties of it. Obviously, you know it's a whole nother business. You know, you got to be there 100% of the time. You know, we're not used to having employees, and so it's just a whole nother realm of the business. And, you know, as a small factory, the tobacco industry can be tough. You know, it's hard to find, you know, tobacco. It's hard to find people that want to sell you tobacco. So there's a lot of hurdles in the beginning of just sorting those types of things out, you know. And and getting the product done and getting it done the way that we want. You know, we with Black Label, we really wanted to make the cigar a better cigar. You know, we wanted to kind of push the limits on what we could do with it. So we spent a lot of time reblending and working with new tobaccos, and I think the end result is going to be a much better product. But, you know, it's just those basic growing pains in the beginning that we've been dealing with. But now we're about to ship our first Black Label production at the end of this month.
Nice.
Overall, things have been going really well.
I got a question. So yeah. I can't remember what factory you were working with before you bought your own factory. But, I mean, how are the blends going to change? Were you able to procure the same tobacco that you were using, or did you have to switch to a different grower or producer since you're not getting made at the place you previously were at?
I think the difference is going to be how the cigar is treated from start to finish. We are using the same tobaccos. We're actually using the same people.
Okay.
But we, with our own factory, we have more control from start to finish, and that's really what we were missing with our other factory, is that we didn't have the ability to control every aspect of our production, and for us to keep the quality where we wanted it, and to be able to grow as a company and do the interesting new projects that we wanted to do, ultimately we had to have that control.
Like, what would you say is different? I mean, not without throwing your old factory under the bus or anything, but I mean, what is different? I mean, are you letting the cigars age longer, or is it, you know, you're fermenting the tobacco a little bit longer? Like, what are you doing that you think is taking, that's different from where you were previously having your cigars made, that are making them that much better?
Yeah, number one is the tobacco. We're able to procure our own tobacco, as much tobacco as we need, age it ourselves, and be able to oversee that entire process. The aging of the cigars, I think, will be much different. You know, we have a very state-of-the-art climate-controlled room at Oveja Negra, and instead of, you know, using newspaper bundles, you know, we have cedar boxes. You know, there's less handling of the cigars, so you get less damage. A lot of little things like that, you know.
Got it. Okay.
So I have a question with regards to the new, and this is from Derek Matthews. Derek Matthews from
I hate
Texas.
You, Derek.
So much hate, so much haterade.
He was talking crap about my suck blower because I wasn't using one to pick up leaves, you know, and he made it kind of sexual, and it made me mad. So Derek, that's for you. I hate you.
So Derek would like to know, James, can you talk a little bit about the Falcon logo that you're planning on using some of the Oveja on the Oveja Negra cigar bands?
Yeah, no Falcon logo. Yeah.
No Falcon logo?
No. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, Derek, jerk, misinformation, spread rumors.
Let's see, we've got...
What will the logo be then? If it's not going to be a you know, a bad A Falcon with, like, talons, then what's it going to be?
It's going to be... I don't know if you've seen our regular logo.
Oh, yeah.
Probably for the most part with the Oveja Negra sticks, it'll be the Oveja Negra logo, and it'll be just very simple name of the stick. You know, with the sticks coming out of the factory, you know, we're probably going to keep it very basic packaging. We want the Oveja Negra line to kind of come in at a price point right under Black Label. So it's really just going to be all about the cigar.
Just a reminder to our live audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, broadcast live on CigarFederation.com, heard around the world, and rebroadcast on Armed Forces Radio Network Radio. You are here with James Brown of Black Label Trading Company, and of course, Logan and myself, Cigar Surgeon. We're going through some audience questions here, trying to get some weasels, some Black Label Trading Company cigars, because I know they're clamoring. So here's a question from Jared Grelot. And Jared always asks questions on the show. He's always got something. Apparently, Jared has, Well, apparently Jared has not smoked any Black Label Trading Company. So first of all,
seriously,
that's what he says. So we're gonna have to take him out and maybe thrash him a little bit because that's
crap.
Ridiculous. He wants to know if you're blending towards a specific flavor profile, whether you try to address a broad spectrum of tastes, and he wants to know, in addition to that, because apparently he's asking 16 questions at once, he also wants to know, can a mild and a full-bodied cigar be found in your lineup?
I would say across the board that, yes, we blend to a very specific flavor profile. All of our cigars tend to be medium to full bodied, obviously depending on how somebody's palate is and what they consider that to be, but for me they would be medium to full. And in that spectrum that we have the White Label brand, which is the Benediction and Royalty, which tends to be on the lighter side of that medium spectrum, whereas a stick like Last Rites and Morphine tend to be on the fuller bodied side of that. You know, but I think a lot of people tend to see our labels and they expect a cigar like Last Rites to be this big, overblown powerhouse stick just because of the name and the branding. But like, when we talk about our cigars being medium to full-bodied or full-bodied, it's really more about depth of flavor and richness of the cigar. So none of our cigars tend to be over the top, but they do tend to have that very intense, rich flavor profile.
So I guess if I were to paraphrase, you're not blending to make a cigar that's going to bowl people over. You're blending for taste profile first, and then everything else comes with that. Is that kind of a...
Right, yeah. Yeah, like when I describe a cigar like Last Rites, yes, it's full-bodied, but in a very kind of elegant way.
It's not raw like Logan likes his Ligero tearing him up.
Hey, man. Ligero is the nectar of the gods, man. It's so good. So good. And that's all I got because I'm tired. I don't have any witty quips. but anyway.
Yeah, with that said, just to give you some idea of what we're going to do with the Oveja Negra sticks, the two cigars that we have lined up for Oveja Negra, I would say, are much more intense and much stronger than anything that we've done for Black Label. So they are going to be very kind of full-blown flavor profile.
Okay, drop a little bit of secret knowledge here in Cigar Chat.
So, I mean, is it going to be, I mean, the La Vieja Negra, however you say it, I can't speak Spanish, but your factory house blends, quote-unquote, how are you planning on, like, going to market with them? I mean, is it, you know, like 5,000 cigars that you'll give to certain retailers? Are you going to sell them online yourself? I'm just curious how you're going to keep kind of the, it sounds like you want to keep a separation between Black Label and what you're doing at the factory, kind of similar to what Skip Martin does between Roma Craft and the projects he does with Nick Asuenio for, you know, some retailers, like one-off projects, right? So I'm just curious, like, what is your go-to-market strategy for that?
Yeah, I think the difference is that we're looking to have Oveja Negra exist as a standalone brand. So basically, Oveja Negra will be available to retailers, you know, whether or not they carry Black Label. You know, it's going to be a new line for us altogether.
So it's kind of like Black Label is the ongoing constant production stuff, and the house blends, it's kind of a quasi Viaje one and done type model. You're just kind of testing the waters with stuff.
Yeah, that's a good example for sure.
I mean, all I talk about is just genius things. You should know this, James. I'll just hit the nail on the head. Anyways, you can go and add Serger.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to get through these audience questions because, like I said, the weasel is deep today. So I'm just going to start picking questions at random because there's just too many.
Just ask them.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask them. So Donald Cozzaro has a really good question, and this is kind of a question close to my heart. And he wants to know, from start to finish, approximately how long does it typically take for you guys to produce a new cigar to market?
About a year minimum. Morphine for us we played with for almost 2 years. But I would say really it's about a year, you know, because the reality is it with a cigar is, you know, you blend something, you roll it, you smoke it, it's great, but really you have to wait and see what that cigar is like in 30 days, in 60 days, in 90 days, in 6 months. So really, and then at that point, if you're not happy with it, you kind of go back to the drawing board and start tweaking it up again. So it does take quite a bit of time to come up with something that you're really happy with, you know, not just as a fresh cigar, but as a finished product.
All right. So, of course, we talked a little bit about the Catacomb very briefly as sort of a year in review, which was a special project for Underground Cigar Shop in Fort Worth, Texas, I think. And Chris Bros wants to know, first of all, how'd the project go? And second of all, do you guys have anything like that in the near works? I mean, we're trying to squeeze some secret info out of you on the Cigar Chat tonight.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I mean, we're obviously very close with Underground Cigar Shop. You know, they've been a great supporter of us from the beginning. Both of our companies kind of launched at the same time. And so we've known each other for a while. And, you know, they do great with our brand. And they were the first retailer to ask us to do a project like that. So, we jumped at it and we're excited to do it. And I think overall it turned out really well. I mean, I think it's a great cigar and has been really well received. And, you know, we've been talking recently. I would say that, you know, we're very close to having a Catacomb for 2015 as well. So we hope to see that coming out this year as well. We are getting a lot of requests from different retailers about exclusives, something different in the Black Label lineup. So, I think it's possible over the next year you could see some new projects like that going on with other retailers.
Okay. Steve Wegner has a question that's near and dear to my heart. He wants to know, do you specifically pair any Black Label Trading Company cigars? And if you do, what are some of your favorite pairings?
I'm a rum guy and a mezcal tequila guy, so... Probably my favorite thing to drink is Jose Cuervo La Familia. So I love Redemption and Last Rites with that drink. I love Royalty with Florida Caña. I think that's a great pairing. I think the best pairing that we have, and we've actually had a lot of people in Ohio and kind of that Midwest area come up with this one as well, is that Benediction is like the perfect bourbon cigar. I mean, it just works. Flavor profiles is perfect with it.
Well, I'm going to take some notes because I'm going to revisit this and maybe you'll be getting an email from me to talk about sharing our pairings and maybe we can do some Black Label Trading Company on the show. But
yeah, definitely.
Moving right along, Wayne Huang has a question.
Who? Of course,
Wayne Huang.
Is that like a real name or is that like a joke?
No, it's a real name, dog.
That's Wayne Huang.
Don't make fun of the man's name. It's cold.
I'm not making fun of his name. I was asking if this was a legit name or not.
That's his legit name. Okay. So, of course, you guys produce in limited quantity, and he wants to know, are there plans either in the near future or obviously in the distant future to make a blend that – to make a particular mainstay blend that's on a regular availability for you guys?
Man, you guys are – or hitting all the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so with the new factory, one thing that it allows us to do is to produce our core line, what we consider our core line, Royalty, Benediction, Salvation, Lawless, Redemption. What we're doing is we're going from our 1,000 box production, which we had in 2013, 2014, to basically what we would consider an open production. Yes, it's still small batch, and we'll make the amount of cigars that we can make, but we're kind of taking that limit off of those. Last Rites, Morphine, and, you know, we will probably do another limited release this year as well. Those will all stay limited to right around the 500 or less box production.
Well, we're not going to get away with easy questions. We don't bring you on Cigar Chat just to. I mean, we're going to shoot the breeze later, but you know, we got to ask some hard questions and squeeze. Logan is going to fire me if I don't squeeze as much information out of you on this segment as possible.
You're already fired because you're not coming to Cigar Safari, you jerkwad.
Oh man, it's cold. Cold.
I know, man.
You know, it's good for me. It's just like 5 press releases I don't have to write now.
Exactly.
Well, this is a question from Jason Myers, and this is maybe more blend specific. So he wants to know a little bit more about the Last Rites, specifically using an Ecuadorian Maduro wrapper. He wants to understand why you went with that particular wrapper, and he wants to know, you know, what is it that you feel that wrapper is contributing to that blend.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I love the wrapper. I think it adds an incredible richness to the cigar. I think that it adds a little bit of sweetness that the cigar needs. I think it's a very earthy cigar. I think it's a very intense cigar with a little bit of spice, and I think that the Ecuadorian Maduro wrapper just really rounds it all out. We played with a lot of wrappers, and that one just kind of was perfect for that particular blend. And we liked it so much that when we were working on the Morphine blend, we started out with just the Drez wrapper. You know, and we just felt like the cigar was missing something. It just needed some richness to it. And at that point is when we decided to add the Ecuadorian Maduro wrapper and do the double wrapper with the Morphine. Because I just feel like that particular wrapper adds a fantastic richness that you can't get from a lot of other wrappers.
Okay.
Let me ask a question. So it's Ecuadorian Habano Maduro, or is it just Ecuadorian, like, Connecticut Maduro?
It's Habano leaf, yeah.
So I'm just curious, because I haven't... I mean, I know that Ecuadorian Habano, I mean, you can get some thick leaves that you can ferment, obviously, longer to get it the Maduro color, but I don't think there's a lot of people that use an Ecuadorian Habano Maduro, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's fairly unique. I mean, what was the choice? I mean, I know you like the wrapper, but to do something outside of the box like that that's not necessarily mainstream.
I think that's exactly the choice. You know, I think when we started out doing our blends, we looked at, you know, using a lot of materials that aren't that common. And in the beginning, that's kind of what limited us in our production and what still limits us in our production of Last Rites is that it's not very common. It's hard to come by, and it takes a long time for the wrapper to develop in its flavor profile and also in its the color that we like to use. And I think that's kind of what we do, you know, with all of our blends, is we look for the interesting, the more obscure tobaccos and play with those first.
All right. Jay Zerato wants to know, and I think we've talked about this in a previous show, but I think this question always gets asked, what's the inspiration behind the names? He wants to know maybe some more detail, if you can provide it, about what goes behind it. And he also mentions that he's got a Lawless ready to fire up after the show. He's super excited about.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's just kind of the whole branding came about because I was a cigar consumer, you know, for 15, 16 years, and just kind of with my own personality and style or whatever, you know, when I would walk a humidor in a store, you know, I just felt like there was nothing really in there that kind of spoke to me, you know, whether it's a generational thing or whatever it is, it just nothing really, you know, jumped off the shelf. So when we just worked on the branding for Black Label, you know, that was kind of our goal, was to hit that segment of the market that kind of felt the same way that I did, that kind of they wanted something that spoke to them when they saw the cigar. And the names just kind of came from the blends themselves. You know, we started out with the blends, and the more we smoked them, you know, the more we started playing with individual names for each stick. And it just kind of grew like that and stuck with it.
Okay. We talked very briefly about this offline, but Bob Dog asked some good questions, and he wants to know how you feel about the IPCPR being in New Orleans.
I'm excited about it. I don't have a whole lot to gauge it off of. You know, last year was our first year at IPCPR, and it was in Vegas, and it was a great show. I love New Orleans. I think it's a great city. It's probably one of my favorite places to be. I hope it's good. I hope we get a lot of East Coast people that didn't make it out to Vegas last year. But, you know, I don't know. People are saying it's going to be great. A lot of people are saying it may be slower than last year. Not sure what to expect, but I hope it's a good show. I think the smoking ban is definitely, you know, not great. I would love to be able to hang out in bars in New Orleans and be able to smoke a cigar. So I'm not sure how the whole after show hangout and party stuff is going to go. But outside of that, I think it'll be a good show.
John, ask my opinion on the show location.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that myself, especially at the smoking ban. But Logan, what do you think about the IPCPR moving from Las Vegas to New Orleans?
I think it sucks.
Why does it suck, dog?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is I totally get you got to, like, rotate it, you know, because there's people on the East Coast that aren't going to fly, and then there's people on the West Coast when you have it on the East Coast in Florida and Orlando. Like, I get all that. But, like, a lot of the show, yes, the trade show is important, but if you ask, I would say, any media person, retailer, manufacturer, and they say, when does business actually get done and relationships get made? It's not during the show. It's after the show. And going to a place where you don't have copious amounts of places to go enjoy cigars, and you're not really in a quote-unquote conference city where you just can't, you know, hop the tram or book a cab somewhere, like where it's going to be a little difficult to get around and people are going to be really spread out, I think it's really, really going to impact that. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm coming from Canada, so I don't really care, like, for flight-wise, I'll fly wherever, but, I mean, I tend to agree. I'm definitely concerned about, like you were saying, James, obviously, with the smoking ban in place, you know, one has to wonder, unlike Vegas, where you can pretty much go anywhere you want and say, look, we've got, you know, 150 people, and they want to smoke, well, in Las Vegas, they're going to accommodate you. In New Orleans, you know, I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but that'll be my first time.
You know, like in Vegas, it's kind of it's great because it's a known thing. You know, kind of everyone knows where to find each other at the end of the day. New Orleans, I have no idea. You know, I'm not sure how all that's going to play out.
Well, we're all going to be there regardless, so, you know, it'll either be a great time or a mediocre time, but I'm sure at the end of the night we'll find some rum and make it a good time. I'm going to ask another question. Jason Myers here has, like, a ton of questions about blends and some of the inspiration there, but he's got more of a personal question directed to you, which is, you know, within your lineup or maybe even outside of your lineup, what kind of profile do you gravitate towards, and what would you say is your favorite cigar from the Black Label Trading Company lineup?
I'm definitely more of a full body cigar smoker. You know, I obviously enjoy all of our line. You know, I blended all those cigars, and they, you know, they have their place. But as for me, as an everyday go-to cigar, number one would be Last Rites. Number two would be Morphine, and Deliverance. Those would be my top three. That just kind of are kind of my perfect everyday smoking cigar.
Okay. And quick follow-up, he wants to know, I'm sure that I already know the answer to this. This is from Steve Wagner. He wants to know, have you ever considered sharing a blend profile with consumers? Or, you know, is there even a value in doing that? Or is that, you know, trade secret? Or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, as far as the blends go, I mean, I think we're fairly open. You know, I mean, each of our boxes includes the basic blend of the cigar, you know, filler, binder, wrapper. You know, and I think that's important for consumers to know that. You know, I mean, it's your average cigar consumer today is way more educated about cigars than anyone ever has been, and I think that's a great thing. So yeah, I mean, we're fairly open. Obviously, we're not going to give you the breakdown of quantities and things like that, but you know, we give you the basic information of what the cigar is made up of and why it tastes like it does. So.
Okay. And Wayne has another question here, which I think is interesting, and I don't know if you can answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyways, and you can either answer it or not. But he wants to know, is there any plans in 2015 to make a collaboration project cigar with anybody else?
Not as of yet, no.
Okay, well, that's an easy one. I'm going to go to one of the questions I wanted to ask, and somebody else already asked it, Steve, because you talked a little bit about how the blending process takes, you know, roughly a year from start to finish. And I'm going to reframe Steve's question because I'm a huge jerk. Do you go into a blending scenario with something in mind, or is it a creative process from start to finish, maybe like music, where you just kind of like to see where the blend takes you? Like, how does that evolve from start, at least from the initial concept?
For me, I start out, I don't like to put a bunch of things together and then just start kind of taking away. What I like to do is I smoke each tobacco that we use individually, and have a very good idea of that profile of that tobacco. And then from that process, it becomes kind of a building of flavors. I start out with an idea in my head of what I want the cigar to be, you know, of which profiles from the tobaccos we use that we really want to highlight, and then we start building it from there. So I don't like to just put things together and then say, well, that didn't work and this didn't work. I think it's better to start out with a very clear idea of what you're going to do and just slowly add to it until it comes around.
And I'm going to ask a question for me, and I don't know how easy this is to answer, but how often do you get into a blend, like, you know, you're a couple months into that blend and you go, this just isn't working and we need to scrap it and start over? Like, is that a thing that's occurring on a regular basis, or, you know, because for me the blending process is kind of one of the most exciting parts of the business, you know, not being in the industry.
And, you know, it's kind of a two-sided thing. Yes, there are a lot of blends that we work on that, you know, once the cigar has some nice age on it and you smoke it, is not quite what you wanted it to be. And then the other side of it is that for me, I like to blend cigars all the time. I'm always working on something new, you know, but the reality is you can, you know, only produce so many cigars in a year. So we obviously have a lot of blends that for one reason or another didn't really work out the way we thought. And then we also have so many things just on the back burner that we're really excited about, but it's just a matter of timing it on when we're ready to put those out.
I mean, do you start out at the beginning of the year with some general ideas of what you want to do for the year and then just kind of filter as the year goes on? Or is it, you know, you just kind of come up with something and then maybe you come up with something 3 months later? Like, you know, because with a year behind a blending process, that's a lot of time investment. So I'm kind of curious, because, I mean, especially with running a new factory and, you know, there's a lot of operational stuff that goes behind that. I guess I'm just kind of wondering how the juggling process works in terms of developing multiple brands at the same time and handling the operational stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key factor is that when we do a blend, we have blends that we've worked on that may see the light of day, they may not, and they're really good blends. But when we do a cigar, and after whatever amount of time it is, we decide that cigar is ready, and you have kind of this eureka moment, and you say, that's the one. Like, it's significantly different and has a great quality to it, and every, you know, all the stars align and it's the cigar that you wanted it to be. That's when we get really excited about it, and that's when we say we need to put this cigar out, and then we kind of have everything fall into place behind that excitement. you know, and that's when we start working on what's it going to be, what's it going to look like, what are we going to brand it, you know, but it kind of takes that for us to really get behind the cigar and say, this year we're getting this out.
So I'm going to ask a question here, and I know this question gets asked a lot, so I'm going to reframe it. I know a lot of people are going to ask, you know, what sets Black Label Trading Company apart from other companies, but I really want to know what it is that you specifically, personally, are most proud of. Like when you look at your company and say, you know, this is the one thing that I'm most proud of. Like, where does Black Label Trading Company stand out for you?
You know, I think, I mean, especially now with the factory, you know, one of our things was I take the boutique cigar thing very seriously. And boutique to me, what that means is that it's from start to finish, you know, from the way that you treat the tobacco, the way that you age the tobacco, the way that you roll the cigars, the way that you age the cigars. It's a full process. You know, and that to me is what sets us apart. It's the way that we treat our tobacco and treat our cigars from the beginning to the end. And I think that's what really makes us truly a boutique cigar company, is that we are there every step of the way. And we produce small quantities of sticks, very focused on quality and flavor, and focused on the tobacco. You know, we're not ever going to be a big mass market company. And we don't want to be. You know, we are 100% just about the sticks. And I think that sets us apart from a lot of other companies.
Okay.
Oh, my turn to ask a question. That's probably not a cigar-related question, but, I mean, you have a business in Guatemala with, like, kind of your adventure, your tours and company. How are you planning on selling that, or... You know, how are you going to run that if you move to Nicaragua full time?
Yeah, we actually have been out of that for the last year almost. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we actually sold off that business, and you know, once Black Label really started rolling, and it was obvious that, you know, more than 100% of our focus, we sold off that business, and we're 100% doing Black Label.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious, because I'm going through a process at work, because I'm thinking about having one of my people from India move here and get a visa and all that. How does that actually work for someone who's not a Nicaraguan citizen? Do you have to get a visa? Is it difficult? Like, what's the process to, like, move there full-time? Or is it you just move down and pay taxes in your square?
No, I mean, you have two options, right? You can either apply for residency, which is semi-difficult, takes a long time, you know, 6 months, a year, or you can do what most people do. What most people do is you go, you're there on a tourist visa, you stay for 90 days, then you need to leave the country for 48 hours, 72 hours, then you come back.
Okay.
90 days. So that's really kind of the way around the residency and what a lot of people do.
Interesting, because, yeah, I was curious how that would work.
Yeah, as far as owning a business, running a business, you don't have to be a resident or anything like that.
Okay. So, you know, down in the factory, is it just you and your wife doing stuff? Do you actually have, you know, I mean, obviously you have people that are working for you, like, you know, rollers and bunchers, but is there, you know, a quote-unquote, like, a seasoned tobacco veteran there with you that's helping you buy the tobacco, or are you guys just doing it kind of all by yourself?
No, we have a great crew. I mean... And that was great for us that we were able to bring most of our crew over, you know, when we switched to our own factory. So, no, we have ourselves, obviously, and we have our rolling teams. We have our production manager, you know, who's been making cigars in SLE for about 33 years. And he's the guy that taught me absolutely everything I know about tobacco. So I would be nowhere today without him. So it's great to have him on board. You know, he's in charge of our production. We have a great general manager. So we've got a great crew, you know. I mean, it's a good team. You know, I'm very, very happy with the way things are going.
Well, that's cool. So, you know, down, I mean, how has the transition been? You know, like, I mean, you kind of have one bit. I mean, you have your main business, then you start Black Label, and then all of a sudden the second business kind of blows up. Like, you know, what have been some of the challenges of kind of switching from one industry to another?
You know, I think the main thing is for all of us, for myself, for Stephanie, is that, you know, Black Label just grew much faster than we anticipated. You know, a year ago, if you would have said we're going to be full-time in Nicaragua, have our own factory, I would have never thought that was going to happen, you know. So it's just been much faster, you know, and I think that we're trying to keep up with it, you know, and trying to figure out where we want the company to go and where we want it to be, you know, not this year, but 2 years and 3 years from now. So that's kind of the path we're on now, is figuring out where we want Black Label to go and what other projects we want to work on. So overall, it's great, you know.
That's so very cool.
I have a question, and I'm just going to rudely cut off Logan here.
Yeah, jerk.
I'm a jerk. I'm being a Rob jerk today.
Dude, Rob's not here, so we can talk total crap about him. It's awesome.
He's going to hate on me on Tuesday. So I like rings. Like, I'm a huge fan of cigar rings, and I was on your website, and I saw that you guys have a Black Label trading company, Sterling Ring, and I want to know, can you give some more details about that? Because it looked pretty cool on the website.
Yeah. So we just we have the Black Label ring. We started out doing the Sterling cutter. I think you've probably seen. But we work with a jeweler in Denver, and we just kind of threw out the idea of doing a ring, and came back with this, and we really loved it. So yeah, it's available now. You know, and we've had a lot of interest in it, so it's pretty cool. You know, we're just flattered that people are that into our branding, you know. So it's kind of cool that a lot of people like it and relate to it so much. So, but I think, over the next year, you'll see some other interesting, cool stuff come out on the swag side of things.
Okay. Well, that takes us to the end of our Armed Forces Radio Network segment. Thanks very much for our live listeners for tuning in. Thanks very much for our podcast listeners for listening. Make sure to tune in on Tuesday when we have Sharing Our Pairings yet again. If you guys aren't getting sick of us, Rob and I are going to sit down and get tore up on some whiskey. So that'll be at our standard time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks very much, and I hope to see you the next show.
All right, we're back. I just don't have any patience. So, what's up? We're back. It's the After Dark segment. It's my segment to fucking shine, because I can cuss and do whatever I want. I'm not restricted by our government and what they will and will not let me say. So, it's true. With that being said, we're going to do the giveaways here. Surgeon, any idea on how you want to do that?
You know, I like rewarding people who ask good questions, and I thought we had a couple good questions. You have any thoughts? What about you, James? What do you think? Who should we reward with some tasty Black Label cigars?
Well, let me just tell you first of all what we've got up for grabs.
Let me
just preface. We've got, and I gotta give a hand to Stephanie, because I mean it's nothing but fucking class. We got this nice little bag. But inside the bag, there is a 5-count sampler. There is, you get one Lawless, one Last Rites, one Redemption, one Salvation, and one Royalty. And I believe these are all the new sizes as well, with a blend card and a very nice sticker. And, not to mention, everyone's favorite, Bovita packs. And just, I want to say for the record, Bovita, when they kind of quit their distribution by Astrian and they're taking it all in-house, you have no idea how much of a pain it is to actually buy Bovita packs now. And how expensive it is. It's ridiculous. But anyways, I guess that's a story for another time. So we've got 8 of those samplers. And we will give them away in any form or fashion that we want to do, John. I don't really care. I would just like to make it easy on myself to give them out, so no crazy, like, you got to jump on one toe and Logan has to count and shit like that. So however you want to do it, it can be best question. I don't really care.
Do you want to name the winners on the show, or do you want to name the winners after the show?
Fuck
how do you feel about that?
I don't care.
You don't care?
No, I don't care.
All right. Well, how about this? How about Weasels? You have to email Logan at CigarFederation.com, and you have to name the name of the new factory that Black Label Trading Company is opening in Esteli, or at least the closest that you gringos can get to the name of that factory. Put it in the subject line or put it in the body of the text. That's Logan at CigarFederation.com. You weasels have about 5 minutes here to get those emails in, and then you are SOL.
Yeah. So.
So I want to know, because you were talking about hopping between Guatemala and Nicaragua, and you said it's a pretty quick flight, like a 40-50 minute flight?
Yeah, about 45 minutes.
So how often, obviously things are going to change when you move to Nicaragua, but up until now, how often were you flying between Guatemala and Nicaragua?
Pretty much every week and a half, so a couple times a month. Yeah. So back and forth quite a bit from here to there, and then obviously in the U.S. a lot for events. So, it's always busy, that's for sure, in terms of travel.
And, because I've never done a short flight in Central America, and I don't know if I have the guts to do a short flight in Central America, because I'd be thinking, am I going to arrive alive when I get to the airport? I mean, are these like little DC-5s or these prop planes, or like what are you flying on?
No, I mean they're actually, they're normal jets, it's much worse in the US going from one small city to the other. So, and there's a couple of local airlines, Copa and Avianca, and like Copa's a United company, and so it's all, what you'd expect.
So did you, when you were looking at property in Nicaragua, was it like, because I have no idea what it's like to try and pick up personal property in Nicaragua, is that a huge hassle, or is it just like the States where you just get a real estate agent and you say, hey, I want to buy this piece of land, find it, and I'll pay you a commission? Like how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we use real estate agent. The problem with Esteli is that, Esteli is Esteli. And it's very small. So the amount of property available at any given time is extremely limited. And in terms of finding factory space, it's not easy, man, I'll tell you. We got extremely lucky with our location. So most locations we looked at, we were looking at possibly doing a 100% complete rebuild on the building. Which we didn't have to do in our current location. So
that sounds like a hassle and a half.
Yeah, it's not easy for sure.
So, you were talking about how at the beginning of the year, if somebody said to you, you're going to be living in Nicaragua full-time, you're going to have your own factory, like that wouldn't even have been on the horizon. I mean, this would obviously be long-term, but would you ever want to get into total vertical integration where you're actually taking control of a farm? Like, is that something that you'd ever want to be a part of?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, for obvious reasons, that would be, unbelievable to have control over the tobacco and where it's grown and the way that it's processed on that end of things. But I don't know. We just kind of take it day by day and as it grows, we grow with it, and the ideas and the plans come along from there. I would say, yeah, for sure, it'd be a great thing to have in the future.
Well, I just had my third trip just recently down to Esteli, and I have to say that I noticed. I mean, obviously, I was only there for like 4 or 5 days, but in the time span of 2013 versus 2014 versus 2015. I noticed a significant difference in the city itself, which hopefully is a good thing. I mean, it seems like, you know, the city is doing better and the people are doing better. I have to assume that that's driving the real estate market. Like what's, have you seen the cost of, you know, when you talk about corporate real estate, when you're looking at factory, are you noticing a significant jump there, or is that not quite hit that market yet in Italy?
No, I think it definitely has. I mean, I've been back and forth to SLE for the last almost five years, and I think the changes have been significant. Right now in SLE, I mean, I think the price of everything is increasing. You know, rents, real estate, obviously tobacco. You know, it's growing at a pretty fast rate. So, and I wouldn't expect it to slow down anytime soon.
Okay, well, I think, Logan, maybe do you have a couple winners, or are they still trying to figure out how to spell the name of the factory?
No, we got winners, man.
You got winners?
Yeah, we got some winners. All right.
You want to satisfy the weasels?
Dude, Derek, quit emailing me, dude, and telling you that you hate that I said that I hate alone. All right, here we go. In no particular order, we have got winners. Shooter, Jay Zarota, Tripp, Steve Wagner, Wayne Hong, Jason Myers, and Derek fucking Matthews.
Derek Matthews.
There you go. And actually, two of you, and I'm not going to tell you which two, it'll be probably the two people I like the best. And I'll also be on what size I believe you are. Two of you will actually receive shirts, but I am not going to tell you who you are. You'll just have to open up your box and see that you received a shirt. Dude, you should be.
You know, I love them shirts. I think the girlfriend is going to kick me out of the bedroom in terms of clothing if I get any more. I actually really dig the Black Label Trading Company shirts.
Well, they didn't send a schmedium, so you're out of fucking luck, John. Skinny-ass Canadian.
So what you're saying is either I got to get fatter or I got to pressure James to start making shirts for the, you know, two Canadians out there who are going to wear them.
Who are skinny and small.
So just a reminder to everyone that five-count sample.
Yeah, Sturgeon is not really violent, everyone. He just talks a big game. He puts product in his beard to make it softer.
I do like a soft beard, and James, maybe we can, because we're in After Dark, and I don't know beards enough on the show. Logan obviously punked out and shaved off his beard, so he's not.
Dude, it was like a fucking 85 degrees with 100% humidity. I sweat my balls off.
All I hear is blah blah blah. I'm not a real man anymore, so I'm gonna focus this question on beard maintenance, because beards are becoming a big part of our show.
You know, for a while I didn't, and then just recently at the UG Cigar Fest, a friend of mine, Brian, started the Lone Star Beard Company, so I gave that a shot. So I'm trying that now, see how it goes, but that would be my first venture into personal beard grooming products.
Beard management?
Beard management, manscaping?
Yeah.
So because Logan knows that when I go on something,
when he gets into something,
he goes
fucking full bore,
whole hog. So I got beard oils, I got two kinds of beard brushes, I got a beard comb, I got two kinds of beard shampoo, I got the I picked up a mustache wax, because my mustache is like, it's going all janky and drives me crazy. And then I got like a like this kind of putty or whatever for managing your beard so that your beard doesn't go janky. Like
pomade kind of?
Yeah, it's like a pomade. It's supposed to be like a natural pomade so it doesn't stink or whatever. But like, how deep have you gone in the... So you said the company was Lone Star, is that right?
Yeah, so I've tried the beard oil, and then it's almost like a beard cream, like a natural equivalent to a pomade.
Like a moisturizer or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I feel like, you know, the longer it gets, obviously, it needs a little bit more. So, you know, I've had beards before, and I've never really done anything, but, you know, I'll give it a whirl, see how it goes.
I think 50% of the reason I like a beard is that I can have a conversation with somebody and then just go like this and, you know, look like I'm being really thoughtful when really I just enjoy touching my beard. I mean, you know, it just, I feel like it just makes me, I don't know if it makes me seem smarter, but it makes me feel smarter, and I'm okay with that.
You need a pipe, surgeon.
You know what? I do need a pipe. I gotta join the pipe dunny. Do you smoke a pipe at all, James?
I don't. Yeah, no, I've never really gotten into pipes at all.
Dude, I've been on a freaking tear buying estate pipes, man. Look at some of these hogs. Little Peterson Paylip from early 2000s. Got a Freewell or a Freehand Stanwell. And then got a brand new Savinelli. Yep. And got a cheaper estate Savinelli. I've been on a tear lately, man. I love smoking pipes.
How often do you smoke a pipe? Do you smoke as much as you smoke a cigar?
It's getting close. It's getting close. Like, the beginning of this year, I had a revelation. And I'll tell you that revelation, James, is that I feel like the cigar industry